What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 255 of the Cheesy Controller Podcast. I'm your host, Anton LaPlace. Joining me, as always, we have the Mecha Stardew Valley, Chris Montalbano.
Alan Wake 2 boggles my mind, and I think I love it.
We got the most degenerate squid in the sea, Jalen Roberts.
Ball damage is a bullshit mechanic, and I hate you so much.
Madrid's out in the bay hanging with the rupees right now, so that's why he couldn't be with us. Go listen to the most recent episode of the Rusty Rupees podcast to hear all about that. It's not out yet, but I'm just assuming that's what they're going to talk about next time they record. We got a jam-packed episode for you guys this week. We're going to be talking about Pokemon Go, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, the Steam Deck, and Alan Wake 2. Jalen, BlizzCon was last week. Before recording, yeah. You were talking about WoW, and you made some valid points. So, as much as you can, I need you to retread.
It's actually quite simple. The reason why WoW sucks, one, is because no one actually cares about the story, because the story is happening to other people.
Yeah.
So it feels like the story in a Warcraft game is you're sitting at your office window, and you hear somebody outside telling someone else a story about what they did over the weekend.
See, that's boring as fuck. I mean, like, we were like talking about, or I was talking about before the podcast, like Final Fantasy 14 at certain points does overdo the story to where I want to get back into the game. And like, you just did something really, really cool, great dungeon, whatever. You were just like in it. And then they throw a bunch of cutscenes at you for way too long, and you're like, okay, I'm over it.
My problem.
Or they throw a whole bunch of cutscenes. Yeah. Or they throw a whole bunch of cutscenes at you in the process of trying to unlock some content that doesn't really need all that content near dungeon.
Yep. 100.
Like, there's more cutscenes than it takes to do the entire three raid stretch.
Yeah. I was about to talk about my problem with the Alliance raids and the normal raids in 14, like having these super long non-voice cutscenes with just exposition dumps, especially like leading into each series. Like, Jesus Christ, I am just trying to unlock this new piece of content so I can run it with my friends. Like, and I feel they make you feel bad for skipping those cutscenes, but it's like
they really do. They really do, because you're like, you'll beat the Alliance raid or whatever raid, and you're just, they're like, yeah, you did it. We saved the world, and you're like, I have no idea what was happening. I just wanted to beat something up.
Right, I wanted this chess piece that you get from here, and
I mean, if it saved the world in the process, that's great. But I'm just trying to look cool.
Right. But also, one thing about it, though, is, like, some of those Alliance Raid stories are actually, like, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, like, totally a good YouTube video is, like, great to go back and figure it out all at once when you're ready.
Yeah, it's the delivery that's the problem with it. It's like, yeah, this content, this story, like, this world building, all of this is interesting. It's just, this is not the right time, context, or delivery method of it, like... You could give me a voice cutscene at the very beginning or the very end, or both, honestly. Like, if it's a voiced, but when it's just walls of text, and it's like, I will always in earnest start trying to sit there and read what is going on, and like, it's not even like the content is written that well that is justifying it's not super well written, and it's like they're going over the same things over and over again, and it's like, oh, we gotta go fill this person in on this other continent but instead of us just going and filling that person in like off screen, no, we have to
story recap like five times
everything that has happened up until this point for this person that is involved. Why? Because
they wanted it.
And that's where my problem comes in with the story content with Final Fantasy 14. Like, MSQ, where stuff's voiced, like...
Yeah.
Like, there's music going on, but a lot of times with these things, it'll just be silence, still images, and a block of text.
Well, I think maybe the reason why, so like going back to WoW and why it was so trash of like you were sitting in an office building and someone is talking about what they did over the weekend outside your window. The MSQ is mostly, at least like especially Shadowbringers to Endwalker, which have been so great, is it's about you being the most badass being in this realm.
Yeah, and even Stormblood, yeah, which I didn't particularly like, Stormblood was like you are liberating and uniting and like you, true, you are,
you and the gang are affecting geopolitics.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Stormblood had such a big cast of like people like, and
you were just meeting everyone in this yeah, entire area. Yeah. It's like you're meeting every member of the culture. Cast.
Yeah,
it's like if they're a member of the culture, they you get to meet them. It's,
mm-hmm.
But it's like, but also another thing with WoW though is that like, I do enjoy how arcadey it is. Like the fact that you could just kind of roll in, get to the action, and how it handles MMO stuff is fun. It's just like,
because, yeah, 14, as much as it respects your time and is arcadey, the second you start coordinating with other people, that, like, it slows down. And I'm sure if I were playing 14 alone the way I play Fortnite alone, it would just be like, hop in, do my dailies. All right, I got to do this dungeon for this minion. Let me go do it real quick. But when it's multiple people, and especially you, Jalen, you'll switch classes 80 times. You're like, wait, hold on. I'm crafting something. Okay, I'm back.
So. And also, this is also because, you know, I have the ability to have all my shit on a hotbar. That's convenient. Yeah. I have like 3 hotbars in the top right-hand corner of my screen that is solely for swapping classes. Shit.
Jesus. Respect.
It's like it's so convenient. It's so convenient because I got like, I have 2 gathering, I have the 2 important gathering classes because I don't give a fuck about fishing. Both of those are 90. I got armor at 90. I got 2 healers. I got 2 healers, 1 magical DPS, and 1 melee DPS at 90. Everything but summoner is around 600. Like, you know, I have options.
Yeah. For me, it's on tanks, I have all the options because all my tanks are 90, but I finally got my ninja to 90. And so that's what we were doing last night, was running, like, Endwalker endgame content on
our alts. It's still more efficient, even if you're not on that class, to run Expert Roulette. Because part of the reason I was able to get my bard up to 600 so fast was the fact that I did Expert Roulette, got the last 4-man of the expansion, and got like 3 pieces of 630 gear.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. I need to do that on my tanks. It was just last night I got tired, but if we play again tonight, definitely going to run as much as possible on my ninja so I can greed what I actually need, and then the higher end stuff I'll just run on my tank and need it for my ninja, because usually those will be smaller groups, so outside of the alliance raid, I'll be fine. And I have 2 out of the 3 meteorites to start my ninja relic. So right now, my ninja weapon is one of the problems, but I don't want to spend the tomes on a non-relic. So
that's fair.
Because I could go use some of my tomes and some of the coins and stuff and get like one of the tome weapons, but I want a relic. I haven't even seen what the ninja... That's been one of the fun parts about the ninja, is it's like, I don't know what any of their stuff looks like.
Oh, because you're just, like, training real fast and switching, like, armor and everything out?
Well, I had a outfit that I wore on my ninja, so it was, like, layered all the way through 80, because the Crypt Lurker was acceptable, but I just didn't really like the Crypt Lurker gear like that. And all the, like, tome, Allegan tome, like, you'll get that gear at 50, 60, 70, 80, and none of them were, like, I don't particularly like any of those. So, I just kind of was like, alright, I'll just keep, I have this outfit that looks like what I feel like my character would look like as a ninja, and so, I just, alright, I hit this next milestone, let me switch armor, let me reapply my glamour, and keep it moving.
Nice.
So.
Yeah. And that's the best part about glamour plates. It's like, oh, change my armor, press one button, back to being drippy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not layering any of the stuff that I'm building at 90 to just kind of see how my ninja looks with all these disparate parts from... Because it's kind of like the Endwalker gear all has the relative same theme. It's just different coloration and stuff. So... Yeah. I gotta build out a full. I hit the market board though for my accessories. I was just like, no, I'm not gonna sit here and grind and try and get raid accessories right now. I'm just gonna hit the market board and drop the gil to get my necklace, my earring, my rings, my bracelet, just to have all that set and solid. But as far as, like, weapon, it's going to be relic, and then armor is going to be just whatever drops from whatever part of the Alliance raid for as long as possible.
Yeah. My ninja, I got a specific ninja fit that is the one of the new PvP jackets and a piece of ninja gear from, like, the Heavens War? No, Stormblood. I think it was from Stormblood. Just a random piece of green ninja gear. And the PvP shoes with my hat that I got from doing crafting. From doing custom deliveries.
Nice.
And then I've also added... I also went to Mordana and picked up the full set of Emperor's new stuff.
Oh, to like...
Invisible stuff?
Yeah, the invisible pieces, yep. Yeah. So I can, you know, not wear gloves.
I love that.
Oh, I just get the nails. I did the Beast Tribe quest so I could get the nails, and I just put the nails in my glamour dresser, and that's my gloves. On anything casual, it's the nails, for the hands at least. I got, you know, some nice, like, flip-flops, and I got a couple different, like, glamour-specific shoes for outfits, so. And outside of that, I mean, Vera, it's super easy to have an invisible helmet.
Ah, yeah, that's a you problem.
No, I'm saying it's super easy. It's not a problem whatsoever.
Right.
It's like, actually, most of my outfits, I have a helmet on. I usually have a hat that I want. Because I also, because I put that Baron circlet that I got from something a long time ago on. Cecil circlet from 4. That's where it came from. I have that on. Because I have that with my original PvP set that I made.
Mm-hmm.
But that hat you get from... helping out the twins' mom, that's a good hat. That's a good hat.
Like, the Power Ranger helmet works. The second part of the normal raid, that helmet works. So, the helmets that I actually want to display on my character, I can when I need to. And then they're like, I have a pair of shades that counts as a helmet. So, it's just a bunch of... As far as glamour, I can build a lot of really good outfits and not have to worry about getting the Emperor's new anything. And then I got Limsicurl outfits, so, you know, I can... got multiple of those on plates.
Here we are here.
Speaking of being out here, Chris... last weekend on Sunday, it was the Pokemon Go Wooper Community Day. And so I had the goal of getting 2 shiny Johto Whoopers and 2 shiny Paldean Whoopers. I did. I actually got 3 shiny Paldean Whoopers.
Nice.
So, and I had more than enough candy after catching probably at least 100 of each over the course of the day. Because all I did was I went to downtown Decatur, where like every corner was 7 Pokestops. And I just walked around and had the game up. I brought a backup battery because towards the end, my phone was like, my phone hit 20%. I was like, all right, I planned for this, plugged it up. Angelina brought snacks. It was great.
Hell yeah, that sounds like a great time.
Yeah, I hit was you it up a... too late because I hadn't planned. I think Saturday after the podcast is when I bought the ticket, because the ticket was only $1.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, I bought the ticket, and we had gone to the bank, and I saw that downtown Decatur was just full of Pokestops. And I was like, all right, so we're just going to come back here tomorrow and walk around, and it was a nice day. And there were other people that were out there that were playing Pokemon Go. Like, I saw this dude with a Steven Universe, like, cheeseburger backpack talking to this old couple. And then, you saw him, like, run down the road, and they were just standing there. I was like, are y'all playing Pokemon Go? They were like, yeah. He just ran off to get a Shadow Articuno.
That's cool. So, like, I know, okay, so you said it's a Whooper community day. Like, is it just a bunch of Whoopers? If you buy this ticket, is it just a
crap ton of Whoopers? Like, your screen is completely full of Whoopers pretty much at all times.
That's crazy.
And then, like, incense lasted longer, and then lure modules lasted longer. So, like, I'm walking around to a bunch of Pokestops with lure modules going, with the incense going, and just...
Hell yeah.
A couple times I was popping lucky eggs and star pieces, because I was needing Stardust to power things up, because there were other Pokemon that I was, like, working on during that day. Because my Omanyte had just... No, my Omanyte, I was still working on getting my Omanyte evolved to an Omastar for the Pokedex. And now I'm working on getting Bayleaf to Meganium. So I'm going through. I need a seal. Do you happen to have a seal?
Yeah, I do have a seal.
Okay. I'll trade you whatever for that next time we're in person. Also, I did a Pokemon card unboxing stream last week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. I opened 54 packs on camera.
Oh, was it
the trick or
treat? The Halloween one? Yeah.
Yeah, and so I got at least 3 copies of pretty much every card in that set. So I,
hell yeah.
Except Banette. Banette is the only one that I got 1 Banette out of 50 packs. So
Were there any that were like super rare, or it was just like, it's like a trick-or-treat kind of thing. You're giving them out to kids or whatever, so.
Yeah, it was 3 cards per pack for those. I did open those 2 Scarlet and Violet packs that I had, and 2 packs of Obsidian Flames, so that's how I got to 54. But the 50 of them, it was 3 cards per pack, and
They had some really, really cool, like, artwork on that set, just...
Yeah,
for just being like a trick or treat thing. I was like, the Houndoom from that set is really cool.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ghastly Hunter and Gengar are really cool.
Yeah, Gengar was one of the holographic ones.
Yeah,
the Marshadow I really liked. So, and I got a bunch of copies of that. I got a bunch of copies of Houndoom. Because at first I pulled a Houndoom early on. I was like, cool. And then I pulled like 3-4 more Houndooms. I'm like, all right, Chris definitely gets a Houndoom.
Yes.
And I know Radek's super into Gengar, and I pulled enough Gengars that I can give you a Gengar and him a Gengar. I can give
all my homies get Gengars.
Shuppet also. Shuppet and Murkrow, I got way too many of both of those.
Those were cool too.
They're not cool after you're pulling your like 50th Shuppet. No. You're like, God damn it, I'm tired of seeing, like, I got tired of seeing every card. The only cards I would shout out would be the Marshadow and the Pikachu.
Like, oh. Yeah. What was the Pikachu? Was it like, I forgot what that one, was it dressed up in like a little costume?
I don't know.
That's what I'll say about the Pokemon Go, like, Halloween event, or like, Vulpix and like, Pikachu, obviously. But like, we're dressed up in little costumes, like, that's cute.
Yeah, I really like the...
I need to spend more money to keep these Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, you gotta... What's your storage at? Like, just to...
300? I have not bought new storage. I have not bought anything with Pokemon Go since I've come back.
Oh. Even on Community Day, I spent, like, $12 on just, like...
Well, see, that's storage not crazy, upgrades.
But... Yeah, I mean, if you're, like... Spinning Pokestops gets you all the Pokeballs you'll ever need.
Mm-hmm.
Gifts. So it's really just like storage expansion because, yeah, my max storage right now is 950.
Damn.
So.
How much is. I don't want to know.
What? I'm at 928 out of 950.
How many Pokemon are there?
1,000. And like 18, I think. It's over 1,000 because whatever Gimmighoul evolves into, that's the Pokemon number 1,000, and that's not the end of the Pokedex. Like there are the legendaries and all that are over 1,000. But yeah, I got like the new pseudo legendary. I got the first form of that
from
Paldea. I've actually been surprised at how quickly I'm filling out my decks.
Mm-hmm. Do they like give you more options when you, as you level up?
More options of what?
Like Pokemon, like in Pokemon Go. Because I feel like I'll even go walking and I'll still see mostly the same. Like I'll see something new here or there, but like I'm mostly seeing the same.
It's just kind of like over time, like as the seasons change, as like different events happen. So like I was seeing Wooper's like crazy leading into the Wooper event, but since then I haven't seen a single Wooper. And now I'm seeing like the Festival of Light Pokemon. So like the Tadbulb and the Morlul and like all of those things leading in. Okay. Like I'm seeing Mareeps like crazy leading into the Mareep community.
I need an Ampharos mad.
Next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Use pineapple berries. Like, that's a good thing. That's if you're seeing these Pokemon a bunch, use pineapple berries, catch a bunch, transfer a bunch, you'll have a bunch of candy. So, like, when you encounter a shiny on Community Day, you can. Mm-hmm. So, like, for the Mareep Day, I'm going to need to get 3 shiny Mareep so I can have a shiny Mareep, Flaffy, and Ampharos.
That's fair.
I did that with
I'm excited. The I actually want to do that one because Ampharos is one of my favorite Pokemon from Gen 2.
And it can Mega Evolve. So, like, if you already get, like, a Flaffy or a Mareep now, add it as your buddy. So you're building up candy through Adventure Sync. Give it a quick treat. Use Nanab Berries for that. The raspberries you're using for catching, just, like... Anything you don't want to run away. Pineapple berries are for anything
getting extra
you
want candy.
A lot of candy on. And Nanab berries, they make Pokemon move around less, but I feel like even Pokemon that move a lot aren't that like big of
aggressive. Issue. Yeah.
So I use those to make sure that my buddy's always technically out and walking with me, even if I'm not playing. So
yeah.
I'm getting more Smart. And more candy. Like, Bayleaf is at 98 Chikorita candy, so I'm going to evolve it to Meganium and then start working on my Feraligatr.
Nice. I need to work on my Cyndaquil.
I've seen wild Quilava. Like, I have...
I think I have a Quilava, but...
And I definitely have a Typhlosion, so...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just working through numerically the decks of, like, what don't I have. And all I'm missing from Gen 1 are... It's Seal and... What is it?
Dugong?
Dugong. I was like, I know it's something with a D. But yeah, those two and then...
He wants the D!
Zapdos, Articuno, Moltres.
I gotta do raids and shit.
And Mew and Mewtwo. Yeah, today's Mega Garchomp raid day, so you can get a Mega Garchomp if you happen to be watching live and want to go raiding Pokemon Go.
Mm. Does Mega D Mega Evolve?
Yeah, so you get the regular Pokemon, and then there's a thing you do where you Mega Evolve it, and they stay Mega Evolve for 24 hours. So if you have enough XL candy to Mega Evolve, odds are you want to Mega Evolve, because the only three that I've been able to do it with so far have been Beedrill, Medicham, and... Does Pidgeot have one?
Let me see. Yes, it becomes more Jesus.
Like, Mega... The Pokedex is so useless in this app. Oh no, here we go. Okay, so it's been Beedrill, it's been Slowbro, and it's been Medicham. I haven't been able to evolve my Pidgeot yet. Let's see, can Mega evolve? Yeah, Beedrill and Slowbro are the only two that I have enough XL candy to evolve right now.
Nice. Oh, yeah, I think I got the Beedrill stone thing. Do you need a stone? I don't know. I think that's what the guy was telling me.
It's the XL candy.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you technically have like your mega stone, but yeah, it's not like a held item you have to get and do.
Oh, okay, cool.
But yeah.
Oh, wait.
Pokemon Go. Community days, like, anybody who wants to get back in, I've been joining Discords, adding people, sending and receiving gifts. There's a spot by my job that I know, like, it's next to a park, and I can just park, spin a bunch of Pokestops, and then keep going. Because there are no Pokestops in my neighborhood. There is one Pokestop in my entire neighborhood, and I would have to drive to get there.
Oh, damn.
It would be too much of a walk for one Pokestop. When I know, like, walking around Decatur, it was legitimately, like, 5 or 6 per block that I could get from standing from on the corner.
Yep. I just get a bunch of churches.
Even, like, the nearest church to here doesn't have one.
Damn.
There's the big church out on the main street, but I would have to
stop in the middle of the road
into the parking lot of the church. It's like a gym, so that's good.
Huh.
Also, if you pass a gym that's controlled by your team, and there's free space, leave a Pokemon. That's free Pokecoins for having a
Pokemon. Yeah, I've been doing that
in the gym.
Or at least every time I've eaten at Okayaki, I'll just like put one of my Pokemon in there if it's blue.
I need to go back to Okayaki.
Yeah, it's so good, dude.
Right? And the drinks are good.
And the drinks are good. Oh.
Like, yeah. It's just,
that
highball was delicious. I need like 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
What was the drink I got last time and I was underwhelmed?
You were under. Oh, what did you get?
I have like the highball from there.
Yeah.
Shit, better
than that. Those are refreshing. Nice and refreshing. I think I got one with this, like, tequila, not tequila whiskey. I don't know. I had about three of them. The bar manager back there, he knows what he's doing.
Good drinks are good.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's Anton, too. Other Anton.
Ah.
Shout out.
Third
if you
Anton,
live in
the most
the third.
The most elusive Anton.
Wait, I thought that was the fourth Anton.
Is there a fourth Anton?
I thought that was the fourth Anton. I don't know.
Well, so it's me that's the Anton you guys deal with the most. Then there's Matic, which is the second most. And then it's Anton Dang.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you know of other Antons, let me know.
Yeah. Anton's got to stick together.
Mm-hmm. We got to be main characters, though, because if you are an Anton and you're a side character, that's how you die. Because there'll be anime characters named Anton, and it's like...
They just die if they're not main.
I mean, that was the thing in Fire Force. And then there's the Toast that's always dying in Gumball. That's a side character that's named Anton.
That's true.
Oh, gotta be MC Energy. Speaking of MC Energy, did either of y'all watch the last episode of Attack on Titan?
Yeah.
Attack on Titan's finally over. 10 years later. I haven't been officially watching it for 10 years. Yeah, it's over. The last two episodes, they should have done a 2 hour, 2.5 hour movie.
I've been saying that since final season part fucking two.
The final season part, yeah, part two, when they announced that it was going to be two more episodes and they were each going to be a part, I'm like, why aren't these movies? But yeah, from part one, we were like, yeah, the way the ending happened, they should have done it as a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the last two episodes is 2.5 hours total, so you could just watch them back to back, and that's a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, so
was it a great ending? I think Madrid said he watched it and he was uninspired.
I believe the manga did the ending better because it kind of mostly because they took out the bombing. They took out the bombs from the end. It's like they took out the bombs because they tried to straddle. Basically, they tried to straddle both opinions on what Eren did with the ending.
Yeah,
instead
but
they
also stopped Armin for thanking him for committing genocide. They made some needed.
Armin's allowed to be wrong. Armin's allowed to be a dumbass. Like, that's the thing about it. It's like Armin's allowed to be wrong.
I enjoyed the last two episodes. Like, I enjoyed the second to last episode when it came out a few months ago, and I enjoyed the last episode. Like, the level of animation, the only way they could have made it better was actually have a theatrical release and get that additional animation budget. Because MAPPA, the final season part one, it was a huge thing that, the Titans were obviously CGI in the final season part one. But the way they got better with the CGI and the way that they made it look more hand-drawn and, the anime, you can tell that they got a huge budget, especially for the last episode.
That and also, experience.
Right.
That's also another thing about it. It's because they've had a couple of other shows that incorporated CGI in it since there. So it's it's a bit of budget. It's a lot of skill. It's a lot of just skill because it's hard incorporating CGI into the art style and making it match. Because that's one reason why CGI looks bad. CGI looks the worst when it's obviously CGI, when you can't blend it into your already established art style that well.
And that's kind of how it was with especially the Warhammer Titan and the Jaw Titan in Final Season Part 1. It was just jeez. And that's how it is with Nier. The Nier anime is also pretty, bad with, this is obviously CGI. You guys aren't doing any of the work to, make it cohesive with the hand-drawn elements of this. It's just, blatantly CG, and it's bad. Advent Children is all CG, and I love Advent Children.
Because that also goes back to the entire thing about this. It's consistency. They're trying to use CGI to cover the cost of doing hand-drawn artwork because it's expensive. I mean, look at Redline. It bankrupted that company almost immediately. Still one of the best animated movies ever. But with Advent Children, that was consistent. They had an art style. They picked out they were going to do it, and they did it front to back.
Yeah.
And movie budget.
But also, I will say, I think a movie would cost similar, not much more, / not much less, as a full season.
Yeah, because that's what they did with Demon Slayer. They were just all right, this whole season movie. And I hope
I hope that's how they do the
the final
arc.
Yeah, I hope that.
But then also, because that would be, because There's a lot of... Those were, like, some of the best fights are before it all falls apart.
Yeah, but you could prevent it from falling apart by making it a movie. Because you're not stretching out that content over as long a period of time as
right,
had that, you with the manga.
That last fight. That last... That right. very last one.
Right.
Everything so, up to there? Sick.
That's what I'm saying. Do all of that, and then it's like... The final, like, fight is a movie. And make mm-hmm. it worth it.
No, I think they should do it all in one movie and let the final fight be like three minutes. Just make that shit like 3 minutes, call it a day.
That would be some of the... That would be Merkava Sakuga, like... That's... Just...
Right, have that entire thing to the end be like 3 minutes. Call it a day.
Yeah, because Ufotable would make that shit sing.
That's what they
for
do.
3 minutes.
That's what they do. That's what they've been doing forever.
Okay. So speaking of something they've been doing forever, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 is out this week. And
oh, we're back on slander talk? I'm here for slander.
Well, you and I were having a conversation about this that I feel like Chris can also weigh in on.
Okay.
And so I don't feel like Madrid would be the most equipped to talk about this. And since Madrid's absent for this week's episode, we can talk about it. All right. So Modern Warfare 3 launched in paid early access where you get to play the campaign early before the game comes out. And this game is doing horribly. Like, I thought that I would be down for Modern Warfare 3 just because it's all OG Modern Warfare 2 remastered maps. But
that's the only reason why I'd be interested in this game.
Yeah. I haven't played the campaign of a Call of Duty really since, like, Black Ops 2?
Yeah. Because, I mean, you get Call of Duty and you know what you're here for. You're here for multiplayer. And, the campaigns haven't been that great since, honestly, PS3 360 era. Maybe.
Pretty much post-Ghost, with the mild exception of... Nah, since Ghost.
Yeah.
Ghost's story wasn't that...
It was okay.
Interesting. So
they ran on the name.
Yeah. I mean, they had kind of burned out the goodwill for Modern Warfare before that, because OG Modern Warfare 3 was kind of like a slap in the face. It felt like going backwards after the masterpiece that was Black Ops 1.
Yeah.
And after the masterpiece that
was... I mean...
They were really on, like, a winning streak with, like, Call of Duty 3 into 4... into Modern Warfare 2, into Black Ops 1. They were on a streak, and they just pissed it all away with Modern Warfare 3.
Modern Warfare 1, which was 4. Then it was World at War.
Yeah, World at War was good.
World at War was good.
Then they did Modern Warfare 2. Then they did Black Ops 1. And then from there, it was Modern Warfare 3, which... at
the time, the campaign was bad. I will say the online was fun.
I didn't really like the online.
I thought some of the maps were cool, but
three still.
And yeah.
Yeah, that game. I don't know.
But Black Ops 2 was cool. Yeah,
Black Ops 2 was the return to form, and then Black Ops 3 and 4 are just
mid.
Yeah, I don't understand why people love those games.
Love them, you love them.
They love them.
Yeah.
Like, I like Black Ops Cold War better than I like Black Ops 3 or 4.
Yeah. Black Ops Cold War is a good one, too.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So, I think part of the reason why there's a love for, like, Black Ops 4...
was the first...
is now,
and
that, but also, like, that was around the time... I feel like when Call of Duty tries something different, if you like the thing that's different, you really enjoy that Call of Duty. But if you don't like the thing that they made different, it's you're just going to spend the rest of your life slandering it.
Yeah. I think it's just really Sledgehammer can't put out a good game, and they should be put on support for the other teams. because that's the thing. Vanguard, Sledgehammer's portfolio, Advanced Warfare.
I will say this. Advanced Warfare would have been considered good if it wasn't called Call of Duty. I do stand by that.
That is fair.
If it wasn't coming with Call of Duty expectations, that game would have been considered good, because was fun. Yeah.
But it also came out around the same time as Titanfall 2, which is a superior one of those kind of shooters.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, but that's also because of... That's also, like, EA not knowing how to release a shooter.
Oh, wait, no.
Because
Titanfall Advanced Warfare...
That was...
Because it was Infinite Warfare that was the one that released around Titanfall.
Oh.
Oh, Chris, first of all, they've named... at least six games the exact same thing. So.
I know.
But the thing with Titanfall is just like EA doesn't know how to release, how to space out their releases so stuff would get a chance to actually do well. Because that's what happened with Titanfall.
With Titanfall was EA wanted to just make sure that Infinite Warfare didn't overall win that season. So what they did is the week before they put out Titanfall, and then the Call of Duty came out, and then the week after they put out Battlefield. They were just trying to split the shooter base as much as possible to take market share away from Call of Duty, because that was a down Call of Duty year, and so EA technically succeeded with what they were trying to do. It's just they hurt both Battlefield and Titanfall significantly. Because, like, they could have spaced them out. Why didn't they space them out? They were trying to take on Call of Duty. Because Battlefield hadn't competed with Call of Duty in multiple
games. Since Bad Company.
Well, 4 semi-competed because there was a generation break. And so 4 sold pretty well. And then their effort after 4 with Battlefield 1 of really just, like... And Titanfall 2 of, like, let's... Because they tried going back to Medal of Honor, late PS3, at 360 generation. They tried. Like, that was all EA was doing during the holiday season. It's like, we're putting out Madden, and we're doing everything we can to destabilize Call of Duty so one of our shooters works. Because they kept doing that, even with Battlefront. They were like, we're not doing Battlefield, but we're going to do Battlefront, and we're going to try and release it. Coinciding with the movies around Call of Duty time and try and pull as many Call of Duty like
that. See, but also the thing with Battlefront, though, it's like, especially Battlefront 2, it's like if they just didn't so egregiously monetize that game would have done so well.
And
that game good.
EA knows how to do that.
I know.
I still
he knows how to shoot themselves in the dick, I will say.
Oh, I still want to play the Battlefront 2 campaign, because that was the thing. Like, I enjoyed Battlefront 1, but what it was missing was a campaign. It was...
The campaign is pretty good.
Yeah, so that's...
And I do believe it has a little bit of a pacing issue. It has a little bit of a pacing issue, but it's still good. Yeah, it's still good.
Yeah.
It's Star Wars, of course.
What was the other Battlefield-esque game that was really good that had a solid campaign? I think EA made it, too.
I don't know. You're going to have to give me a few more details.
Bad Boys? Fucking what was that
game called? Army of Two, Kane and Lynch?
I think so.
Well, those are two different things. There's the Army of Two series,
no.
And then there's Kane and Lynch. And then
Kane and Lynch is disgusting and grimy and kind of a shitty game, but it's also like...
what's the other one? Rainbow Six?
No. No. I think it's honestly in the same realm of Battlefield.
Hardline?
It's not Medal of Honor.
No. Medal of Honor is like, wasn't that their whole like World War II series?
No, the more recent Medal of Honors were like hyper-realistic military porn.
Yep.
They were just Battlefield, but like, what if Battlefield tried to do modern warfare?
Bad Company.
Oh, yeah, Battlefield Bad Company.
Yeah.
I mentioned that a while ago.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yes, I said like the only time Battlefield could actually complete was Bad Company.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That was a solid story.
Yeah, Bad Company. But yeah, I mean, that's EA's entire motive to this day with their shooters. It's because Apex was in response to War... Like, of course it wasn't in direct response to Warzone.
Yeah. But,
yeah, Apex was like, alright, Call of Duty's doing a Battle Royale, because they had already done Blackout by that point. So this was their second chance at a Battle Royale, and EA put out Apex to try and combat that.
So, and Apex was good for a hot second.
I actually reinstalled Apex.
Did you?
But then uninstalled it. I was just bored.
I was like,
I want to. There's something I want to play a shooter, but I like don't. I'm not about to buy Modern Warfare 3. Like,
you specifically want to play like a modern military shooter, because like I got boomer shooter recommendations up and down the place. Like,
yeah, I want a modern military shooter.
Not even necessarily modern military. Not as arcadey as a boomer shooter, but not like Chris.
I'll be honest. I want to play a fucking Call of Duty game. I want a Call of Duty to be created not by a shitty ass company and be good. And right now we don't get either. They're both. It's created by a fucking shitty ass company and they're bad.
They're owned by Microsoft now. Bobby Kotick will be out by the end.
They fucking got the keys to the door and they're not moved in yet.
And. Who says the person who ain't going to replace them ain't going to be just another...
It's going to be Microsoft.
It's going to be Microsoft.
Going to appoint to that role? Because it's not going to be actually Microsoft. Microsoft's going to be doing a lot of overhead, but they're not like...
Yeah, we'll find out.
They are in the process of folding in because like they even after the acquisition closed, they announced their hierarchy of like... Essentially, like the board of Xbox Gaming, like Microsoft Game Studios, is overseeing, like, the head of Bethesda directly reports to them. And then, so they.
I don't have faith.
I think
but it's we'll Sarah see.
Bond is going to be, like, the.
I think it'll get better, but
I hope just, to be proven
time
wrong.
Will tell.
Yeah,
yeah, I hope to be proven wrong. I want to state that. Yeah, like,
I honestly think things will get significantly better as far as the people in power at Activision, because Microsoft doesn't play that shit.
Yeah,
we hope so.
I mean,
because remember, Bethesda was doing some grimy shit right to their to one of their employees right before fucking Starfield came out.
It was during the she was on the Elder Scrolls Online, and they fired her and took away her
fucking healthcare
before she and said she was trans, and they took away her healthcare. They couldn't get the surgery or the insurance to pay for it. They said she would have it until the end of her transition, and the day after she was fired, they canceled her healthcare.
It's almost like
Bethesda's done some fucked up shit, so I don't know if the people are still there. I haven't gone into the research and see if the people are still there after all of that.
Right.
Screwing someone like that, like someone over, like that, that's like really fucked up. But hopefully Xbox got rid of him. And I know he made, like, Xbox has gotten people to sign, like, all the employees to sign, like, hey, we are here. You can tell us anything. Like, it's going to be a safer environment, and trying to get the new through this acquisition. Thank you. Like making people feel safer in this work environment and like going forward. But we're going to see. I mean, after like,
well,
the games industry is still the games industry, and no one's really proved that they're good.
Well, I mean, as far as like, and I know. Like, I don't think unionization is the answer to all the problems in the games industry.
I think it'll solve a lot of it.
Yeah, and so yeah. Microsoft has already agreed to respect gaming unions under Bethesda and Activision of, like, if you're coming in unionized, we are going to respect your union and, like, accept the terms of that union. Like, by absorbing ZeniMax and ABK.
So I mean, you can't. Microsoft has to literally, like, be as good as possible. These people went through some bullshit at Activision and Blizzard.
So another thing about Microsoft is it's kind of do or die for them. Like, they've already said, like, if their gaming sales don't improve, by most likely a very large margin, they're out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like,
I mean, I don't know. I'm 100% how much that is going. They're like,
well, it's just,
when I say they're out, they're just going to become Sony's largest third party games producer.
Yeah.
Basically, what's happened to Sega.
Yeah. We'll see. I feel like they have too many things in the works to.
It's not just that, but it's also like,
now
it's
part of, in a position, especially after getting Activision, where it's like, yeah, they probably have 100 projects going right now.
That, but then also like, part of it is also like the whole Game Pass thing. Also like how, what's on Game Pass versus like the most average player's taste in a game.
Yeah.
Because Game Pass is full of a bunch of smaller, really amazing, artsy-ass games.
But that's not what people are all ways going not towards.
The most average mainstream person is playing. Like, I still need more people to play Citizen Sleeper.
It's also surfacing those games to those people who are going to be paying for Game Pass just for Call of Duty. Like, instead of paying for Call of Duty, they're going to buy Game Pass and Citizen Sleeper is going to be sitting right there, and it's more of an opportunity for that game to be discovered by more
people. You would think so, but then didn't we come out with PlayStation that there's a million something PlayStations that legitimately only play Call of Duty?
Yeah.
Like,
but yeah, but
I don't trust that fan base to actually try something new.
That's fair.
Try something different.
I mean,
that's part of the reason why you have so many people saying gaming isn't good. The games that are coming out aren't good right now because they only play the same two games. Right,
but that's on them. Like, I can appreciate that. Like, 2023 has been an amazing year.
Banger of a year.
I have
in game releases
and playing. Yeah,
in game releases. Because the industry has been on fucking fire. I think like we're up to 9,000 jobs. Just poof. Gone, I mean, to the wind.
I think Xbox will be fine. In the last quarter, they said they did one of the worst like console sales, but they did the greatest like gaming sales they've ever done in like recent years. So with Starfield coming out,
but that's also like how the market has always been. You take a loss on the consoles so you could sell games.
Yeah, just do that. Well, they were just not selling consoles. I guess they would think that because Starfield came out, it's not a console seller. It's more of a Game Pass seller. And so
that, and also like,
well, I mean, if you want to compare it directly, PlayStation has Spider-Man come out, and Spider-Man has been a console seller.
Yeah.
It hasn't been a PlayStation Plus seller. It's a single-player game. You don't need PlayStation Plus to play it. Like,
yep.
And that's the thing about it, though. It's like, that's also why I mentioned Game Pass, because it's like, Game Pass kind of changes the way you think about game sales, because it's like, if it's on Game Pass, a good chunk of your audience is just going to play it off of Game Pass. They're not going to actually buy it. But if it's not on your Game Pass equivalent, people are going to buy it for full price.
Yep.
And not then
on Xbox. Because the data has been showing that on Xbox, if a game releases full price, odds are people are just going to wait for it to come to Game Pass.
I'm saying, like, that's my entire point, though. It's like,
they're not buying it. On PlayStation and PC, they are buying those games. On Xbox, the entire, like, Xbox console user base is being conditioned to not pay full price for games.
That is my point. That is my legitimate point. It's like, Game Pass is changing how that audience buys games. Like, that's the entire point that I'm making. Like, I buy PC games. I don't buy games off Xbox.
Right.
I only bought one game on my Xbox the entire time, and that's Elden Ring. That's the only game I bought on Xbox full price.
I've bought Nier, PUBG. I'm just trying to think, because, like, my Xbox account is mostly purchase games.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going over to Xbox, it's to support a game. The only game that I played any with any like real effort on Xbox that I got through Game Pass was Monster Hunter World. But other than that, all my other Xbox games that I played were like, even my Xbox 360 backwards compatible stuff, the games I have on the shelf, like it's all purchased games on Xbox.
Yeah.
All right. So while we're talking about purchasing games, the Steam OLED model was just announced. The Steam Deck OLED model was just announced, and I semi have buyer's remorse on spending as much as I spent on the version of the Steam Deck that I got ended up getting.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like getting the first generation of something.
Yeah.
That is what it is.
And I mean, it'll be fine because there's still a significant amount of a gap in time between this one and the next one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I will say I did not expect any sort of a refresh this early.
Right. I was not expecting a revision whatsoever until we got a sequel. Like,
thanks, Nintendo.
Right.
Yeah, shit. They literally did do the Nintendo Switch OLED.
Well, yeah, they thanked Nintendo for it. They're like, thanks, Nintendo, for proving that OLED handhelds are a viable thing.
And it's got a better battery.
And it got a better battery.
Well, it's a smaller nanometer process for the diode, so they didn't put a bigger battery in there. It's just that the chip is more efficient on the battery, which they also did with the Switch when they did the Redbox Switch, is they just like did a different process for like making the SoC. And so, like, it's just smaller and more power efficient. So, it's the same thing they did with the Switch.
Has it, I mean, you said you got buyer's remorse. Do you feel any obligation to go buy this new one?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, like,
it's not about obligation, it's about want. It's about the fact that the newer, cooler thing is out, and it's just true.
I have played my Steam Deck, with my Steam Deck consistently, and I still, like, I'm like, I don't need to buy that. I don't need the newest thing. It still works perfectly.
I just had enough problems out of mine that I wish I had waited to, for this.
Bro, I guess I did get mine, like, this year.
More optimized.
No, mine's been working beautifully. Like, I've been having fun as fuck with mine.
It slaps.
Like, mine's just...
I also haven't tried to
mine do is baby girl. Crazy mine is definitely it. Baby girl.
So, earlier this year, I formatted my SD card to just try and, like, start fresh. But earlier this week, I factory reset it to just be, like, all that random bullshit that we had installed for trying to do emulators and trying to do PlayStation Remote Play and all.
See, and this is also something else about you and your Steam Deck, is half of your problems with your Steam Deck is because you're trying to do a bunch of extreme.
Yeah, you're doing crazy ass shit. Isn't
playing games off of fucking
just Steam. Play Steam.
I'm not trying to do anywhere near the craziest shit I see people doing with their
Steam. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying we could have had PlayStation set up. We could have had PlayStation. If it wasn't for the fact that PlayStation requires you to be on your PlayStation's Wi-Fi, which is also the reason why their whole, like, Sony's handheld thing is bullshit. Like, that was the only reason why we never got the PlayStation thing set up on your Steam Deck. I had it set up.
Oh, Sony you just have on to be on the Wi-Fi?
Well, it's just because, and I think that they're going to make the PlayStation Remote Play app work with Linux, so I'm just probably going to get that set up whenever that happens.
Okay. But I'm just going to desktop mode.
Well, I'll just install it as a non-Steam app, and I'll just be able to remote play on my network to my PlayStation the way I do it on my phone.
Off of desktop mode.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Well, no. I'll just do it through Steam. Like, I won't even have to go to desktop mode for that.
Alright. I still don't understand why Sony's doing the whole you can't access your shit if you're not on your Wi-Fi. That's kind of fucking dumb.
Is it a security thing?
The official remote play stuff, you can do it from wherever on pretty much whatever. The problem was we were using a third-party app that's meant for remote desktoping, and we were tricking it to work with PlayStation. That we, the apps we were using were not official Sony products.
Just let it work.
To be fair. Just and the portal and the backbone and all these other things, you can use other places.
Just let it fucking work.
All they have to do is put the... Because we did it when we were in Florida, where I remote played my PlayStation at home. You were on your 14 account natively on your laptop, and we were playing 14 together. So
Robbie,
we've seen it work multiple times as far as like Chris, especially like you and I being somewhere and me being like, all right, fuck it. I have my PlayStation in my hand.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we know that the tech works when it's supported in an official capacity. I've done it on laptops. I've done it on iPads. I've done it on my phone, like multiple different phones that I've had. And it's worked consistently, like, unless just wherever I'm at, it just has really bad internet. But even with just decent internet, I've done it, like, I've turned on my PlayStation so it can download stuff. Like, I'll download it from the app. It'll be like, all right, next time, like, it'll download whenever, like, next time your system's, like, not completely asleep. And I just turn on remote play on my phone, turn on my PlayStation, let the download start, and turn it off all through remote play over cellular data on my phone before.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a specific thing of like, there was not an official Steam Deck supported app, because even through Steam on my PC, I can remote play my PlayStation with an Xbox controller and do it as a non-Steam app. You can do all of that on PC, Mac, Android, iOS, like all these places it's officially supported. It's just we were in a Linux environment where it's not officially supported and we were trying to backdoor it.
According to Robbie in the chat, he's saying that remote play isn't going to come to Linux. Have you heard something different?
No, I'm just hoping they do it.
Oh, okay.
Because it'd be a smart idea.
It would.
Because with the ROG Ally or the Lenovo, like both of those, you can just use the PC supported because they're running Windows. You can just download that app onto either of those and play as long as you are online on that system. However the fuck, I'm guessing those are just Wi-Fi, but I'm not sure. I haven't seen either of those in person or used either of those, but I know that you would be able to just download that PC client, run it, and it would work. So the only reason that it's not currently working on the Steam Deck is because it's Linux, which is better and worse in certain ways for certain applications.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that one particular application of remote playing a PS5 to a Steam Deck could use some improvement.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just going to keep putting shit on my Steam Deck. Just calling it a fucking day.
Yeah. So I factory reset it, and it was a little bit laggy right after I did that. But then I updated it to the newest firmware and re-downloaded the things that mattered. And yeah, I mean, I've used it a couple times this week. I downloaded the Granblue Fantasy Versus Rising demo, but didn't make it home in time. Because the night it started, I was playing 14 and then got tired. And then it went for like 23 hours. And the next day, I got up, went to work, and didn't make it home in time to play any of it. But yeah, I've been putting official Steam stuff on my Steam Deck. I needed to factory reset it and format my SD card.
Yeah.
And so I did those things. But I'm just saying, I've gone through a lot with my Steam Deck. when it bricked itself, I wasn't even in desktop mode. I wasn't even doing no weird shit. It just crashed during a fucking software update. And I'm on this stable channel like that had absolutely nothing to do with me and my fuck shit.
I mean, right, to be fair, Linux will always be Linux. I know Windows has its faults, but...
Windows be pissing me off.
Yeah, but Linux is not always the most stable.
Linux is for people who actually want to go in there and fucking hard root their shit. Fuck it.
Yeah, but you're on a handheld game system that's supposed to be easy for the like consumer.
Right.
So but it's they not.
They're like,
but also, let's be Linux. Real here. If Linux was easy and simple for the consumer to use, Linux would immediately lose half of their fucking audience.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because, like, Linux is one of the few operating systems that makes you feel like a hacker man trying to get that bitch to work.
I mean, I feel like what is the most recent? It's not Ubuntu, is it?
I hope it's not Ubuntu.
Technically, SteamOS is, like, just
because... The newest Linux? Like, no, newest desktop Linux.
You could put SteamOS on a desktop?
I don't.
Heck, it would probably work pretty well.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna even lie to you.
So many things about how the improvements that Steam has made to Linux overall, because they put a bunch of Linux devices in a bunch of gamers' hands and said, go buck wild.
Mm-hmm. Like,
Linux overall has improved since the release of the Steam Deck just off the sheer force of people figuring shit out with Linux Steam Deck.
That's true.
Like, I'm sure Chiaki, the app we were using to try and remote play my PlayStation, I'm sure that was even worse of a fucking bitch to deal with pre-Steam Deck. Like, the fact that I was able to look up, hey, how do I remote play my PlayStation on my Steam Deck, and there were multiple YouTube videos explaining the process, it's just showing, like, yeah. But I wish I had.
No. I will say. Yeah. I will say I am considering it. I'm considering it instead of the Steam Deck because my mom wants to get into gaming, and I'm like, oh, I could just give her a Steam. I could just give her my Steam Deck. Call it a day.
One of my coworkers was looking for a hobby, and I was like, just buy a PS5. I was like,
or shit, right? Because, but I will say, I'm about to start my Gunpla/miniatures arc. I see it coming. Oh. It's been a long time coming.
Get it.
Like, I need
books. It's a bunch of art books and like
same
stuff.
And also
that I just held off on buying because we were moving, and now I'm sitting here. I'm like,
You have the time and the space,
right?
Also, if I don't do miniatures, I'm going to go back to hardcore shilling tabletop games. Because I'll be available to run them again. You know?
Oh, miniatures are so expensive, though.
I mean, shit, I got like 8 games. We could do a one-shot every day for a week, and we'd be fine. Like, literally, it would just be play a one-shot of various systems, find the one we like for the vibe of the table, and then just run a campaign off that. It'd be easy.
You know.
And if worst comes to worst, fair. I'll just make y'all read Pathfinder.
Also
it's 5th edition, but cooler. I'm not signing
up for any of this, just for the record. Chris and I'll do our weird Pokemon shit off on
all. No. Chris is already signed up for this shit.
I'm like,
Chris is the overlap of all the nerdy shit of like, Chris is
they just said
usually down for the bullshit.
I mean, I get a text message that says, yo, I want to run a tabletop potluck. You in? Fuck yeah, let's go. I'm down to cook.
Boom.
I'm down to role play.
Yeah, right. We all just eat. Role play.
The role playing I'm doing is I'm walking around Decatur as a Pokemon trainer. Shiny hunting. That's the role playing I'm doing.
I feel that.
You know, just we'll start off simple. We'll start with 5th edition just to get back into the swing of things.
That's cool.
Swap the Pathfinder so y'all can see that it's better.
Yeah.
Go to space with Starfinder.
Go to the future with
Cyberpunk Red.
There we go.
And then once y'all get a little hardcore with the shit, we'll start bringing in those a little bit more complicated system. We'll add some of that weird shit in there. Like, I'll make y'all play Vampire the Masquerade. Marissa would love pretending to be a vampire.
Yeah, she would. She's on her fairy bullshit now, though.
Oh, God. Right. She is reading the fucking Crown of Thorns series, like Crown of Roses, whatever the fuck that shit is called.
Crown of Thorns is a Jesus thing, so I'm pretty sure.
It's not that.
Look, I'm just saying. Tabletop potluck.
I'm just saying.
You're for it.
As long as it's not the same day as a community day. Because I'm going to need Chris. Chris needs to get these shinies.
I'm going to need to get these shinies.
I mean, it could be any day. My new schedule is actually pretty nice. I got a pretty primo schedule, so.
It's sick.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It's a work in progress.
Just let me know when you're ready. I'll make some jambalaya first one.
I want jambalaya. I don't want to role play.
Why don't you? Oh, come on. What's so bad about role playing?
Yeah.
Nothing. It's just, you know, I got
to. Like, wake up your inner theater kid. Let loose.
Footloose.
All right. You know, like.
Before we get too far off track. Okay. There was one more thing I had on the notes, and that's, Chris, you played.
I actually played it. Yeah. Oh, man, this fucking game. It's my first Remedy game, so Robbie's in the chat and has been kind of talking about it in the Discord. Just, it's a fucking wild ass ride. And it's just like the survival horror of this aspect. I don't know if this is like supposed to be a survival horror ass game. It's fantastic. It scares the shit out of me. It's the story, the meta ishness of it. I don't even know how to fucking explain it. It's just a
Basically, a hack writer has weird shit happening based on his hack writing. Because the thing about Alan Wake is he's a hack.
He's writing like some shit in this one.
Huh?
He's writing some good shit in this one.
I don't think he's actually... I think we're... he's a hack. Like, find the manuscripts. Read some of the manuscripts. Now, I will say, I haven't played Alan Wake 2. He might have gotten better. But those manuscripts in Alan Wake 1 is fucking garbage shit. Like, that's fan fiction. That's fucking... He's a hack.
Well, he disappeared for 13 years and is back. So, here you are. He had some time to figure out.
If that's actually him writing it and not some weird spooky Remedy shit. Or maybe this is the version from the timeline where he doesn't suck.
It's him, but not him, but him at the same time.
Fucking Remedy.
Saga is actually a really cool character. She's like the main character in the story outside of Alan Wake. She's pretty cool, but she's got some shit going on with her. This is a hella story-driven, but like well-made game to where the gameplay is almost just as good as the story that you're like surrounded by. I don't know. I've probably four or five hours into it. I'm like, I've had some game of the year's experiences already with this game. Just like, it's been intense. It's been mind-boggling. I've just been like, damn, this game is fantastic. Play Alan Wake 2. It slaps.
We were talking to Robbie about it. It was, for me, I'd want to play Alan Wake 1 and Control before I even started Alan Wake 2. Because, like, I enjoyed when That's I fair. Played of Control. I just fell off it.
Control was fucking lit, man.
And apparently you absolutely need to play Alan Wake 1 before playing Alan Wake 2. And that's...
Yep, I'm lost.
I mean, it is the direct sequel.
I am lost, but I'm having a great time.
I'm going to go watch some YouTube recaps, Chris.
About to. But I also want to go back and... play Alan Wake 1, so do I ruin it and then go back and play it, even if I know how everything ends?
Well, I mean,
I don't know. I'm just here. I'm having a good time with this one. Just on, I'm along for this ride that it's taking me on.
Yeah, I'm just, as the resident Twin Peaks person, like, I'm surprised you haven't been more into Remedy stuff.
Yeah, that's fair. I didn't know it was like this. I honestly just didn't know. I just didn't realize. I was blinding myself from really, really good games.
I've been shilling Alan Wake 1 since they announced Alan Wake 2.
You have.
And I mean, Alan Wake Remastered.
Again, blinded.
It's pretty good. I have it because
I'm going to
PlayStation Plus a few months ago, so.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I grabbed that.
Okay, well then you might just have Alan Wake Remastered available to play on the on PlayStation.
Yeah.
Because I know you're definitely not playing Alan Wake 2 on PlayStation.
I am. I didn't want to buy it off of Epic Store.
Oh, shit.
And I wanted those trophies.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not getting it off of Epic.
Control was free on PlayStation Plus at one point, so you really just might
have. I might just have all the Remedy games, and I just don't even know.
Well, Quantum Break is Xbox exclusive, and they made the campaign for Crossfire X, but like, it seems like Quantum Break kind
of the ultimate version. Robbie, shout out to Robbie. He's in the chat going off.
Oh, yeah. So getting the ultimate version of Control is the only way to get it on current gen.
Oh, okay.
Because Control came out as a late gen last game, mm-hmm. and that was one of the first controversies of, like, they're like, you have to rebuy the Ultimate Edition. Even if you got the version with the season pass on PS4, it wouldn't.
I remember that.
And so part of the PlayStation's make good on that whole scenario was just like, how about we just give Control Ultimate Edition away for free on PlayStation Plus?
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
And also the Granblue Fantasy versus Rising beta is actually up right now, so after this, I logged in, made my player name, set up my profile, and I'm ready to run some casual matches, get my teeth kicked in.
Hell yeah. Casual. Casually.
Well, it asked me when I tried to start up a casual match, because I thought it'd be a menu after this. It's like, let's find players of a similar skill level. It's like, I'm not too confident or have little experience. I like fighting games, but I'm not the best, or I can take anyone on. And I'm like, I'm not too confident or have little experience, because I know the kind of people that are going to be playing a limited open beta for an Arc System Works rollback netcode version of
the fact that. And also, where the fuck is the rollback for Dragon Ball? That shit got announced to put right back into the ether.
Yeah, they were like, Dragon Ball. Damn. Evo came and went and we didn't hear jack shit about that.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Also, I was playing Liza P last night because I'm like, I actually finished the games I start era. And
nice.
Why mandatory platforming sections in Souls-like game make me rage more than any boss fight?
Non-platformers makes me rage because the Fall Guy shit in 14.
See, like, I'm starting to understand the 14 stuff because it's like, it's really just learning. It is making me a better raider. That's the thing about it, is the Fall Guy shit is actually making me a better raider because I'm starting to actually be able to anticipate the server ticks. Because that's the thing about it. It's you can't play Final Fantasy XIV Fall Guys reactively like you play Fall Guys. You have to play it proactively because you're competing with server ticks. And also, if it is any of those swinging platforms, you can see where it's going on the bottom. They have a marker on the bottom so you can see where they're swinging. You could actually see, like, the part of it where you have those, where you're spinning around and you have those swinging balls that are going across.
I haven't played I've legitimately only played one game of Final Fantasy Fall Guys because I've been trying to get my ninja to 90 and now gearing up my ninja at 90.
I got the parka. I played enough to get the parka and then be on the same wavelength as Juwan that we both dyed it the same fucking color. But the reason why Lies of P pissed me off so much wasn't even like just the platforming part, but it's also the fact is like, hey, we're going to have enemies that do ranged attacks on these thin-ass wooden planks that if you get hit at the wrong angle, you will just fall off and fucking die. That's the part that pisses me off the most. It's like, if you're going to make me do platforming in a non-platforming game, do not put ranged enemies that are throwing shit at you to knock you off. Or, crazy enough, get rid of the fall damage. Because I will say, fall damage in that game is fucking high. Like, every time there's a mandatory fall in that game, I'm like, this is a chunk of my HP.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is...
You gotta call up Torrin and do the double jump to break your fall.
Look, I just found, it wasn't until this part that I found that there was a jump. Still a bullshit jump, but there is a jump.
Yeah, I didn't really spend a lot of time jumping in Elden Ring if I wasn't on my horse. But yeah, I mean, does anybody have one more thing before we wrap?
Mm-mm.
No, I'm good.
I think that's our time for the week. Remember, you can follow us all collectively around the internet, cheesycontrollerpodcast.com. You can follow me on Instagram at Anton6 2X's. Chris, where can people find you?
You can find me in the Discord if you go to cheesycontrollerpodcast.com. Hit the link.
You'll be instantly teleported right to the server. Jalen?
Mm-hmm.
Squid Bishop, but I mostly live in a Discord.
All right, this has been a No It's Good production. The video version is edited by Lana Twist of Mine. The audio version is edited by Akuma Santi. Until next time, keep it cheesy.